So this year's calendar is full of blue moons, pink moons, super moons. Let's talk about those three to begin with. What's the difference and what kind of makes it really exciting that they're all happening this year?
So the full moon, of course, happens roughly once a month. And this year, we'd have three moons where the moon is a little bit larger than normal, and we call those super moons. So this happens usually every year, one or two times. We've got three of them this year, so when you're looking at the full moon, it's slightly larger than normal. And also, the full moons are often given names. So the first full moon can be called a pink full moon. There's other names for full moons that are given by different people in different cultures around the world, like the first supermoon of the year, which is in April, is sometimes called a growing moon or a sprouting grass moon or an egg moon. So it's kind of a historical thing as to what they've names that have been given by different cultures as well.
And so, you know, you mentioned these supermoons are going to be, going to get a few more of those. Does that mean that's going to affect our tides a little bit as well? Will we see other things happening around Earth, you know, in relation to the skies?
Yeah, so the tides obviously depend on the alignment of the moon, and they're affected by the sun. And so during the full moon is when the sun and the moon are in alignment with the Earth, and so the tides are larger during the full moon. And when during a supermoon, the moon is at its closest point to Earth as it orbits the Earth in a slightly elliptical orbit. So the tides are also slightly larger than average during a supermoon as well.
Yeah, so grab that surfboard after you've had a look at the telescope the night before. But this is one of the things that I wanted to kind of check in with you as well. I mean, I'm very familiar to the weather forecast. I do it six times a day here on 2SER. But I don't know, how do you guys, you know, use, you know, whatever equipment and mathematical equations you do to kind of predict events like this? And also, you know, the lunar eclipse that's happening this year.
Yeah, so the moon's orbit around the Earth is very, very predictable because it's not affected by anything vague like the weather, because, you know, in space there's no atmosphere that is swirling around confusing things. So we know exactly what the moon is going to do every day. We can calculate ahead for decades, centuries into the future as to what the moon is going to do. So people can calculate when the next full moon is going to be, when the next solar eclipse will be, when the next lunar eclipse will be, all the way into the future. Like, for example, we know on the 22nd of July 2028, there's going to be a total solar eclipse over Sydney, which will be a hugely exciting event for the city.
Wow. Well, if you've got a 10-year planner, pop it in now.
Exactly, yes.
So, I mean, yeah, I feel like a lot of us have picked up a few skills over lockdown. I know a few of us have become stargazers, but, you know, what are your top tips for anyone who's wanting to kind of knuckle into it this year on a year that's got so many exciting things happening up in our skies?
Look, I think for a lot of people, just taking the time to look at the sky at night, look at the moon through binoculars, you'll be amazed at what you can see if you've never done that before, because with a good pair of binoculars you can see craters so easily on the moon. And I love showing people the moon through my telescope, and when they see that for the first time, the reactions are really priceless. People have never seen just how beautiful the moon is when you're looking through a telescope or binoculars. So just get out and do that. You don't have to wait for a supermoon. You can do that any night. In fact, the moon is most impressive through binoculars or a telescope when it's a quarter moon or not a full moon, because then you get the craters really show up very strongly, particularly just on the line between night and day on the moon.
Yeah, wow. Well, there you go. That's a great piece of advice. And I guess we're all kind of running out of hobbies to do. So if you haven't tried looking up at the sky, that's Professor David's first suggestion. David, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
You're most welcome.